Hey, this movie's got Buffy in it, so get ready for Jamie to spend about 5 minutes being horny. Welcome to another Scary Month edition of We'll Just Tell Your Mother We're Scared, as we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
Check one, two, check, please, check one, two... Please, mate, can I please get the check, mate?
I don't mind this, to be honest.
Maybe check. This should be. That you saw that he pushed record and was just like, I'm just going to do it again.
Yeah, you got to reset the riff.
Maybe this should be your new persona. Just the guy who wants the check.
Maybe.
But also.
Hey, yeah, waiter, check, please. Check one, two, actually. Check one, two, please, waiter.
Would that be
can
a good, like.
Be my friend?
That sounds like a like an old, like, hacky, like, British catchphrase. Is like you do a punchline, but like, check, please.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty good. Maybe you should get into that.
Butt, baby!
You're just saying that at a restaurant. Can I have the butt, baby, please?
Is that what it, he's going to turn into, that hamburger guy? Like, hamburger, but he'd be like, butt, baby, at the end of every punchline.
We've spoken about keeping up appearances
yeah.
on this show, right?
Yeah, yeah,
have
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
What if it was like...
Pretty sure we have.
What if it was like, the butt baby resident, Sandra Hastings speaking?
Yeah, but wouldn't it be like Andrea Hastings?
No. Yeah, no, well, it's like, butt baby is the bucket thing.
Yeah, but yeah. Then what's the pronunciation of butt baby that's lower class?
Boot baby.
It's the boot baby.
You put an umlaut over the U in butt?
Man, a lot has happened in the last few weeks that we have not recorded.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded,
fellas. We don't record much.
And ladies?
No.
Anymore.
But I feel like the one thing that we should go to straight away is something that, considering we talk about them all the time, it would be remiss of us not to talk about the new Blink-182 album straight away.
This is true.
All right.
Because we don't have enough time with it yet to do a full ep.
Has anyone listened to it more than once?
I've only gone through it once.
I liked one of the lead singles, not as a Blink-182 song.
I've listened to it 3 times now.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
It fits better. The singles fit better in the context of the album than they did when they were released independently. Although I still dislike one a lot. I don't think it's interesting.
I think on first listen, I would say I like it better than California, which is...
Yes.
I thought that too, but I still think it's bad.
Yeah.
They're not the same band.
Yeah. But the sound is more interesting than what they were doing for California,
yeah,
I think.
That's kind of my thinking as well. It's a little more like... it feels like maybe it's a bit more collaborative, perhaps? Or there's like more... Like there's a new... I don't know. There's something to it that wasn't there before.
It definitely feels like there's an energy there that they're like excited about writing songs together again.
Yeah.
One thing that I think is interesting that I'm not sure yet if I like it or do not like it, it seems that like Travis's beats have a much more prominent part in the overall songwriting.
Mm.
Whereas like when Blink were at their, I guess, their pop punk apex before Untitled, you'd say like, oh, it was driven almost entirely by riffs, bass lines, dual vocals, and then you had this insanely talented drummer backing
just
it up with all the fills
out
and flourishes. But there are a lot of songs on this album, 9, where like it seems like Travis is really the backbone.
Yeah,
like,
and also there's 9 songs about Cadillacs. Is that and telling you enough?
Yeah.
I think pop punks and Cadillacs.
And divorce.
Yeah. I love
but like, yeah, there's definitely a thing there, I guess, with like his like career making beats for rappers as well.
Mm.
The drums sometimes form the backbone of the song that to me is not as inherently interesting as a sick riff.
Yeah, well, especially what you want from Blink-182, but also it sort of makes sense for like that they're doing synthy, dancey things.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess like put your best foot forward with Travis probably being the most musically accomplished of the band.
Mm.
But I think the first song on that album rules.
That was the best one,
I
thought.
I enjoyed
if
that.
If they all sounded like that, I would have been pretty stoked with it.
Mm.
Do you ever just get the feeling though that maybe we're just hanging on to something that's just not... It's just not there anymore.
Absolutely, that's what's happening.
Oh, I was talking about...
Yeah, I was going to say, are we talking about Blink, Andrew?
Hang on.
Sure.
I believe they call that projecting.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I know like pop punk is so kind of the time, and the Blink albums will always be classic. And there is that argument that you don't still want to hear 40-year-old men talking about like sitting in a parking lot.
Absolutely. Mm. But that's, I guess, the problem with bands existing for 30 years. Bands probably shouldn't exist for 30 years.
But I would
years,
say, like, right? of that era, like, this is not pop punk, but I thought, like, Taking Back Sunday recently did
I'm
the
listening.
Thing. Recently did the thing where it took them, like, a few bit times to figure out once they reunited the original lineup. But I thought, like, what they released, you have to be like, oh, okay, well, no album will be Tell All Your Friends, but I don't want to hear, like, a 40-year-old man talk about slitting his own throat.
Yeah, Taking Back Sunday handled it well.
But I think there are, like, yes, you should evolve, but I think they've just evolved somewhere that is so far removed from what it used to be, and it's not really a good place.
If I were to quit the podcast to study aliens, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say that's the scenario that's happening.
Which really doesn't feel like out of the realms of possibility.
Yeah, it wouldn't be...
Well, studying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be aliens. It would be like goth girls at the mall. Like it would be...
Yeah, right.
Full time.
Or as you call it, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, we're doing a Tuesday record today.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
unusual. Club going up. No, what was I saying?
It's my mum's 60th birthday today.
So if
happy
I
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, so if I'm quitting the band, I'm quitting the pod to study aliens, right? And I've already quit once and then come back a few years later. I've quit the second time. This time it's for good. You got to replace me with someone from a tangential podcast, much like
Blink
182.
Oh, man, let me get my dream list up that I...
Who do you want from the Australian podcasting community filling in the Tom DeLonge role on We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Added It All?
Well, it has to be...
this podcast?
On this podcast.
That's such a simple answer.
They've got to stay, We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Added It All.
I have, like, what I think is the clearest answer, and you should be able to guess it, I think.
Is it Alex?
No, you said from the Australian podcasting community.
Oh, right.
Mm.
I don't even know. Who would you get? I mean, Alexi would be the first choice.
Alexi,
so.
Yeah. Someone that... Because
I just don't know if you could get him.
No, because of course we could.
Because I think if...
Maybe you should be looking more towards a McGowan. You know what
well, I mean? No, because if we're going for like the same kind of level that they've done, where like Alkaline Trio were far less popular.
So we
than
need someone less popular than Andrew Hastings.
But we need
Jackson Stewart.
Or just someone from a podcast that's less popular than this, and I don't know if that exists.
Oh man, I've been looking at the numbers. We're doing just fine.
Yeah, exactly. We're about to break.
We're on any
year now.
10,000 listens per capita. So
yeah,
every person in this country has listened on average 10,000.
But then,
times.
Like, if you were to replace you, would you go like for? Because I said Alexi, but then. Again, Alexi doesn't, while being very knowledgeable about movies and very charming, doesn't fulfill the role of punching bag.
Yeah.
So it's got to be someone who brings their own take to the role of Andrew Hastings
but then,
without being Andrew Hastings.
Well, then that's what kind of like loops in with the Blink thing. Do you want a Tom DeLonge replacement or do you want a Matt Skiba who fans initially will be like, okay, he talks about movies too much, sounds a little like the other two, but brings a different energy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, Alexi would be quirky on here. You guys should listen to Alexi's podcast, by the way, dear listener. They're very good.
I think enough people.
I think they all do. If you're listening to this, you probably already listen to
Alexi's
podcast.
They just sold out a live podcast at our festival.
Fair enough. Finding Drago is like the best podcast.
Also, I don't know how I feel about plugging other podcasts on this because people will like abandon ship.
Rose, you got to see a therapist.
I don't think they will.
You got to work on those abandonment issues.
I think we give people something that they need, which is to ignore the conversation about the theme and talk about anything else.
Yeah.
I know I've done that.
Yeah.
You've abandoned our podcast.
No. Like I've listened to like a podcast that I like and they're like, somebody from another podcast goes on, I listen to that, stop listening to the other one and then go to the one that I now think is better.
All right. Well, I'm what we call loyal.
Yeah.
I love those guys on Instagram always talking about loyalty. I've brought this up before, I'm sure, but I think it's so funny.
Well, describe it.
You know, like guys on Instagram is, oh, like, you actually see a lot of girls doing, so it's probably 50-50, but just the being like, 20-year-olds being like, none of these bitches out here loyal, I need a ride or die. And they're like, always talking about like loyalty as a value that they, whatever, but it's like
they've all got tattoos.
You're hanging out at the mall. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you talking about?
Or something.
I've never once been betrayed in my life. Like, why does this keep happening to you? they just think someone like upsetting them is like some sort of like, you know, mutinous act. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that is kind
of
fun.
Their least favorite crime is treason.
Yeah. Yeah, they hate it, dude. You see a lot of people talking about like loyalty on Tinder. It's in a lot of Tinder
but
bios.
I mean, like, if you're talking like
they
that,
just mean cheating.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if you're talking about that and making fun of them, there's like an entire genre of music that we've kind of based
oh,
up
God, yeah.
on that's entirely
Absolutely.
Based around that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen metalcore is like the worst for that. It'd just be like...
But I think like
that slut broke
in a way,
my heart.
Like a lot of like music, obviously, is going to be about like loyalty, betrayal, like love.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Heightened
Whereas,
emotions.
Like this pop punk to emo scene took it in more embarrassing ways, ending with metalcore. Probably.
Well, metalcore, it had like it was like, what if your high school boyfriend is about to murder you?
Yeah.
It's got like that energy to it. It's not good.
Well, like a metalcore band that hasn't broke big, like an emerging brand of metalcore in Sydney,
yep.
would be a guy who's 19,
yep.
somehow covered head to toe in tattoos.
Yep, I know 20 of these guys.
Probably is an assistant manager at McDonald's.
Smiggle.
Okay, and is dating...
McDonald's too works, but I know one specifically.
And is dating like a 17-year-old who's still in school, but is actually kind of mature for her age.
Yeah. Yes, that exact thing.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
That exact thing, and he's like, but what is it, Barrett? Well, you don't have to see the side of it when you're the adult, around the adult who's dating the teenager, is them like explaining to their friends... that, like, she's just not ready yet. That's, like, the most...
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you're 22. You shouldn't be dating a child. Like, don't justify this.
Yeah, and also, you're not fucking ready.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to fuck... Yeah.
Yeah, pretty rough stuff. It's a good genre of music we're into.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that would probably be the most... Oh, no, it wouldn't even be the most drastic. The most drastic would be, like, the metalcore that incorporates, like, beats and raps and stuff in it.
Oh, like the Broken Side type guys.
Yeah, and your Blood on the Dance Floor.
Yeah, also,
and, like, but that's dead. That, like, whole subsection is kind of dead,
that subsection
right?
existed for 6 months, really. Yeah. Like, if we're being honest about it, it was such a flash
in
the pan.
It's kind of, like, morphed now into, like, the SoundCloud rapper stuff, but it's got...
Yeah, but those
less...
guys didn't like Broken Side and shit.
Yeah, but it's, like, less aggressive
and
more...
Yeah. It's way better as well. Like, it's actually, like... respected
I mean,
by
it's
some
not
people.
Hard to be better than like. I
yeah, don't no, totally. But
if
that's...
we fucking got GarageBand between the three of us in an hour, we
quite
could
easily
song better than Broken Side.
You could write a song better than Broken Side with whatever instruments are just lying around the apartment right
it's
now.
It's like you need an acoustic guitar not to yell.
Yeah, we've got two basses.
Yep.
Yep. We can figure something.
Two basses. I'll just throw the Zoom at the wall.
Two basses. Let's do Fat Bottom from Spinal Tap. Is that what it's called? Fat Bottoms.
Can't remember.
Fat Bottom Girls
is a Queen song.
What's the one Spinal Tap parody?
I don't remember.
Big Bottoms.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah. Man, Spinal Tap.
It would be pretty funny to do this podcast that is pretty, I guess, aware about who we are as people, but then also be like, at the plugs, be like, yeah, come to Powerbomb Comedy, come to comedy at Puppet Getty's this week. We've got a metalcore band. We're playing the Bull and Bush Tavern.
Man, we're 6 months off it.
We're signing records outside where Sanity used to be in Castle Towers.
That was a good Freudian slip of a metalcore bland.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, baby.
Got it there.
It's been a while since we've recorded. I'm just like, so much has happened. We had You Up was a roaring success, as we all know.
Sure.
No, it was like a fun trial show. It was pretty messy, but it was like great, I thought.
Pretty messy is a bit of an
no, it was all techie. It was a trial show. I'm not hacking this. It was a great show. Suck my dick.
So have you turned another corner emotionally since Saturday? It's hard to keep up. Because Friday you were like very low.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, came to lunch 20 minutes late, just started essentially yelling at me about people getting signed to management.
That's not what happened.
Yes, it was exactly what happened.
No, you've conflated
I'm
two stories.
I'm not naming any
names. No, you've conflated two stories. You've conflated me making fun of someone earlier that day, and then broadly my feelings of being overlooked, which are tangentially related to the first point. I wasn't going in there being like, fuck, and then X, Y, Z. That wasn't what happened.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was there too.
Look, it was a low point.
And you were probably more sober than old Stoney over here. So.
Oh, well, no, yeah.
Clearer
memory.
I was pretty sharp.
Yeah, he was all right. He was.
Yeah, I've been pretty good lately.
Yeah, he had to be on it to string that much vitriol together in that concentrated amount of time. Then I saw him and was like, oh, fuck, Hastings is not maybe doing so good. Then on Saturday, he's all smiles being like, I've turned a corner. And it's just like, fucking hell, this guy is driving hairpin turns.
Yeah. No. Yep. That was the range of my mood for
Which one are you at?
I'm feeling great. I've been great the last couple of days.
So what does it take to get you back to Friday? Someone to slight you again? Mm. Basically, someone that you dislike emceeing Lounge on the next month.
Well, remember before when we were talking about loyalty, Jamie? Yeah, mm-hmm. Betrayal is what would send me back. No, I don't know. I've just been feeling good. I think I was being overly critical about myself, not just about the show, but about a lot of things. And I was being whatever. I spoke to some people. They're very supportive and nice. It was all very helpful. Things were all great.
Oh, yeah. We also got the Andrea Hastings fundamentally doesn't understand what criticism means on Friday, where he was like, people keep telling me they like the show, but then what they could approve about it. But what actually makes me work is universal praise. And you're like, that's not how criticism works.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is like criticism doesn't motivate me. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I told Amy that and she was like, there's literally a talk I'm going to about problem children. Kids that reckon they only subsist on praise. And she was like, that can't happen.
Yeah, that basically just means you're like a spoiled brat.
No. You've mixed two things up.
No, I'm not. You literally said to me, I deal better when people unanimously praise what I do.
No.
Yes, you did that. That was literally what you said.
Let me get to my side of that problem. All right. What I was saying, Jamie, I can't believe I'm being betrayed this way. I'm open up to my friend. What I'm saying, Jamie, is that what makes me most productive is when I feel proud of myself.
Right.
And the way for that, I mean, so what I've found in like management situations and stuff is I work better when I'm given, when I'm basically being told I'm the best.
That's what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean I can't take on and improve from criticism. Criticism is still valuable, but that's not the thing that criticism demotivates me. It makes me feel very bad about myself and makes me stop wanting to try at all. Whereas positive is like, oh, maybe I am okay. I have very low self-esteem is what I'm saying, Jay.
Yeah, I know that, but like that's fine.
Remember
but
when
like,
you
how
said
do
that
you
I
expect,
need to see a therapist?
If you expect... Oh,
I don't... I don't expect anyone's behavior to change. I was just...
No, I wasn't saying people's behavior to change. Yeah. I was like, how do you expect something to get better if your ultimate way of motivating you is for people to tell you that you're amazing?
Oh, I'll just have to be criticized sometimes. Right. I will have to be criticized no matter what. Yeah. But it's like, oh, it goes down a lot sweeter with a big old spoonful of sugar.
I feel like people telling you that they enjoyed you up, but here are ways could be better. It's a healthy way to do it.
I was probably too vulnerable at that stage.
Right.
Immediately after the show.
Hastings would never lash out negatively.
I probably should have waited.
You're doing that right now.
I probably should have waited more time after the show before taking on feedback. I was probably too vulnerable and too sensitive when it happened.
Well, that's very healthy.
Yeah.
This is definitely, Hastings has never wildly gone out of control with negative criticism and definitely hasn't indulged in toxic behaviors. Feelings of self-worth linked to his career thoughts and who's getting signed to Junkyard every day.
No, that's not what it is. No, it's genuinely not even about that.
It was a bit that we were doing about everyone.
Yeah. I'm very happy for everyone, and I genuinely believe a rising tide carries all ships. Just not this one. No, it's fine. I'm kidding.
I'm taking on water, baby.
So I'm checking my notes to see like what happened in the last couple of weeks so we can talk about it. But I did
So you've got notes about events, but not about the movie.
I got both. But no, well, the notes about events aren't my notes for the pod. It's actually my notes for my psychologist tomorrow. So I'm just skimming them now to see if there's anything I want to bring up on the pod.
Oh, God.
I feel like we just did a pretty good dive on Hastings without really explaining. Hastings did you up. It was a fun show.
It was really fun, I thought.
But it was fraught with technical
difficulties. People liked it. Every technical aspect about it failed. Yeah. Hastings was probably a little too drunk. He fell off stage 3 times.
That is true. Jesus. But I think the show worked. The tech stuff wasn't as much as my fault as you'd think, but it was still my fault.
Yeah, and there's stuff to improve.
And it was it was basically a trial show. We'll do it again. It'll be great.
Can say everything that you want about the character, but take the fucking shoulder bag off.
No, I liked the shoulder bag.
Oh, I actually did hear some constructive criticism.
Oh, my Lord.
was it take the shoulder bag off?
It was that people didn't understand what the shoulder bag was for.
Yeah, it was for a joke that didn't end up landing.
And then when I explained it, they were like, oh, I don't think it's necessary.
All right, well, listen to Jamie. He's in the show.
I was watching the show.
That was one I actually forgot about.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. That one I can deal
mostly
with.
Mostly because I couldn't see you with the bag on from my angle, really.
Writing the show, feelings about that, ADHD, question mark, discomfort around productivity.
It seems like you keep pushing the ADHD question mark.
No, it's like pretty fucked. It's really bad. I got to deal with it. Wedding planning.
You know,
it's
that, like, chores. You know, catch-ups that we do at the start of these episodes are never focused on you or I. It's just, what have you done lately?
It's called podcasting. fight that I had on Friday with my friend. Fight that I had on Saturday with my friend. Processing the feedback.
Wait, what was the one on Saturday?
I'm not going to go into the pod. processing the show, handling feedback. Jamie, Steph, Yvette, Al, these people have given me feedback that I need to talk to my psychologist about.
You talking to your psychologist about the people in the show?
No, the people who gave me feedback on the show and how I felt about it.
How did you feel about it when I gave you feedback? You didn't seem happy on Friday.
Yeah.
I should have waited longer before asking for feedback.
I listened to it, so I've seen it twice.
Oh my God, I still haven't listened to it. I'm not ready yet. I'm very fragile about the show, obviously. It's because I'm out on a limb. I haven't done anything like this before. It was like I worked hard on it and it was ambitious.
Yeah, I think
and
that's admirable.
I think it is admirable too. That's why I'm so vulnerable about it. But it was a good show. I'm proud of the show.
How long until people can really start making fun of it, you reckon? People are holding back, I think.
Oh my, don't tell me that. What, you're trying to give me fucking brain damage?
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, I don't think it is.
Well,
what's been going on with you? Let's
I'm not done.
Cancel the show, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. So this
that unfortunately went ahead.
Yeah, it did. God damn.
So this is what's on this. After I had beers with you, did I tell you this? As soon as I went home from beers with you, I reckon within 5 minutes of closing the door, I was pissing, but I was sitting down because I was like tired and sad. Mm. Like, I wasn't shitting. That's important to this story. I was pissing. And then I just broke down crying. I just shaking, sobbing tears. I had to like call my friend and like have her like talk me down a little bit. And then as I was doing that, Yvette came home and I had to be like, I'm sad about the show. it was very embarrassing.
Did you cry for so long?
Yeah, I was sad. I was sad about just my life. I'm very overwhelmed at the moment. I'm getting married in 3 weeks.
Did you cry so much that it forced a shit out?
No.
I made you cry?
No, I'm quite constipated because of these iron supplements I'm taking.
That'll do that.
Yeah, it's
so
brutal.
I made you cry?
No, you didn't make me cry. You were actually very helpful, Jamie. I felt better after seeing you than before. It was just, I was still processing.
This is very interesting stuff.
All right, so I got to talk to my therapist about that. I can't say those words out loud.
Show us.
There you go.
Dude, that's the N word.
It's just the N word repeated.
Yep. Intrusive thoughts, and then another list of names.
What's an intrusive? Oh God, are you killing people?
No, intrusive thought is in like something that like you know isn't right, but you keep thinking it.
Like,
no, it's in like that person hates me, or that person doesn't really want to be my friend, or that person thinks I'm bad at comedy, or whatever.
This sounds like it's like a few specific people we all know.
I said there's a list of names.
Who are the names?
What do you think I do in therapy? Well, like, what are I talking about if not you? Like, what would I? This is you're there for most of my life. What else do you think I'm talking about if not you guys? Avoidance with job applications. Few little fights with Yvette, but mostly good. That's good. Nice times with friends has been good.
This is such a long list. How fucking long are your sessions?
I'm going to go through it about that quick. It's just to catch them up because it's been like a few weeks.
Right.
But yeah, I'm a very, you know.
And then they just pick and choose.
But that's
the ones
a lot. But
that's what I'm saying. It's a big week. That's why I got a fucking
they
list.
They pick and choose
need
the ones that they think are funniest.
More time
to
things and like work through them.
We'll see what she thinks is important. It'll happen naturally.
She does it by which ones are funniest.
The reason I wrote it down is because so much has happened. That's why I was like, I need to get through it.
Speaking of so much. Joke. We're living in a post-Joker world now.
Oh, baby, let's talk about the Joker. Speaking of comedians with mental health problems.
Have you seen the Joker yet?
You're awful, Rose. Jamie. No,
no, but I was at the
comedy... You know, that's what he says to...
I don't remember.
That's what he says to De Niro.
I was at the Comedy Lounge last
probably
night.
Probably just spoilers.
And I was talking to Eloise Eftos, and she was saying she went with Freddie McManus and George Pettifer, and like the whole time, they're just all sitting there whispering to each other, like, that's someone we know. That's someone... like, look how many... Oh, this is that person and that person and that person.
I identified six names. I was like, he's a combination of six men we know.
Oh, baby.
I tried to watch
I'm going to need to hear that list
when
we
number
finish.
One influence is not the one
oh, of
I
course.
Expected.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
not the one
yeah.
I expected. Yeah. He was the number two.
Right.
I tried to watch it without...
Was the number one you?
No, I'm number five.
I really did my best to watch it without thinking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
trying to make my mind blank whenever I was like, this person. Because I know, like, and it's not like, I'm not talking about anyone specific here, but there are a few comics in Sydney and around the world on Twitter who are fucking like...
It's crazy,
who
right?
Who have seen it like six times
it's
already.
It's crazy.
Which, my review of it was like, I personally would not fucking see that movie three times in a weekend, no, but I also completely understand why those people do.
Right.
Yes, I get why. It's a good film, I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go as far to say it's
script,
a good
I think.
Film.
I think it's like very well made. I think it's very well crafted, but it's
I think it looks great.
It looks amazing.
The performances are great.
Joaquin's great, yeah.
Does this
but the script sucks, dog.
Movie have any mention to Batman?
Yes.
Not sort of.
Bruce Wayne. It has mentions to Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne is in it, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But I think the main thing that I came away with it is like, it is like if a bad open mic comedian remade Taxi Driver, but thought that Travis Bickle was actually an all right guy that's been done wrong by all the people around him.
Is that the guy in Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a bit where Joker is sitting in the back of a comedy club making notes while Gary Goldman is on stage.
Yeah.
And he's like making notes about like how to be a good MC. Yeah.
And
it was very interesting.
And it's set.
I can think of somebody like that.
And it's set in the 80s, but he's doing 2019 material.
Yeah, all the material is actual comedians doing modern material. Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah.
Because Sam Morrill's in it as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But it is weird. The other thing that I think is weird that I thought it would be interesting to bring up with you, Hastings, is how many people I've seen on social media, not even related to comedy, talking about how effective a dissection it is of mental health. Where I thought it was kind of anything but.
So I did think about that. I think the criticism that it handles mental health like inaccurately is like, they're not wrong, it's inaccurate, but it's a movie about the Joker from Batman.
No, I what I've been seeing...
Yeah, I'm disagreeing with you.
Oh, like, no, what I've been seeing is people saying that it's, like, the best...
Yeah,
like,
So I'm more on that side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not because it's a good depiction of it, but because it addresses sort of, like, the social issues, which kind of are the root... Not the... Like, that's where it gets a tricky area. It's like, you can't say what the root causes of, like... violence.
Well, I think it's
I
think like the movie does too easily is that like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if the movie agrees with what the Joker agrees with. Too many times it feels like it does.
Yeah.
Like, because Amy came out of it being like, oh, I don't think that the Joker, like the movie kind of celebrates him. And I was like, at the end, they fucking like save him praise him.
I read that differently. He is he's the Joker from Batman at the end. Like he's got crazy evil followers. But then that kind of subverts the kind of class message of the film, which I do agree with. Like the which I do think is like a positive one about how like, you know, 1% whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like I guess like all poor people are bad guys now. But like it's obviously not supposed to be read that way. Like I can see what they were going for. They don't have this like, do you know what they should have, like Anakin Skywalker almost, where it's like, go like, oh no, he made some points, but now he's fully bad.
Yeah.
I see what they were going for, but they muddied it too much. And it was like, but I can see they were very clear. What the message they were going for, I think broadly was good.
Yeah. I do think there's a little too much of like, it's society's fault.
No, yeah, I get that. But it's the, like, if they're talking about like mental health, social services and stuff, I think it's like, the moral of the movie is society needs to look after poor people and vulnerable people better, which is good. I think that's an overwhelmingly good message. Like, but they muddy their own message with this kind of shitty character.
When they're like,
but not on purpose, I don't
also
think.
It's cool when they all rise up and beat the shit out of everyone.
Yeah, it's like, I still don't think we should shoot frat boy, like, you know, like Wall Street guys.
Like, I thought that was like pretty funny when he did that. And like,
it was sick.
It was pretty funny when Joker killed Robert De Niro, spoilers, but like,
I said spoilers.
There's like the whole fact that like everyone's dressing like him just fucking shit up.
It's pretty sick.
It was a little much. Like,
I thought it was sick.
It was kind of like, it was kind of a nasty movie. Like, unrelentingly nasty.
I just like the listeners to know that I'm still here.
I felt very uncomfortable right up until he started killing people, and I don't like that I felt relieved when he did. Like, that's not a good feeling.
But like, right? I felt uncomfortable, but not in a way where I was like, oh, wow, this is like art. I was just kind of like, oh, this is like...
Horror movie-ish almost.
I was like, this is kind of like nasty for nasty's sake.
Yeah.
Like, it definitely feels like what a 16-year-old would think is the coolest, edgiest shit.
Yeah. I think there's value in it. I just didn't... I didn't enjoy it.
Like, I also don't think it was a particularly enjoyable Joker. Like,
no, Heath Ledger's still the GOAT.
The GOAT.
The GOAT king.
It's also, like, so funny to, like, have, like, to do this kind of origin story about a guy who's meant to be, like, a fucking genius.
Yeah.
And have him be, like, real dumb.
Well, do you know what,
with
like...
no impulse control.
Yeah, I think I texted this to you, but yeah, it's like, and, you know, excuse the slur, but... no, I won't say it, but, like, what if the Joker was, you know, slow?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like he's supposed to be
neurodivergent.
But then I guess the other point of debate that people like are saying is like maybe like that guy is not the Joker. He's just a guy that inspired
whatever
the Joker.
Show us
but
that.
Like who gives a fuck?
Makes sense with the age thing, but like show us that then.
Yeah.
Have a successor, have a maybe this is the prequel to Batman 89 and Joe Chill was actually wearing a Joker. Wait, no, fuck, that is the Joker. Yeah. I forgot the plot of Batman 89.
Yeah. I mean like yeah, it didn't really do it for me. I kind of like walked in wanting to like it. And well, I also don't give a shit about all like the woke left bullshit arguments about it who are like, it's encouraging incels, it's going to get people to shoot up a theater. I don't think it's going to do that.
If people saw the movie, people would relax a little bit.
It's just a dumb movie. I mean,
that kind of
Taxi Driver's more
that kind of already happened before this.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's a movie criticizing, like, you can't say don't make a movie criticizing bad things because it might inspire people to do bad things.
Yeah.
I had someone else say that somewhere. I can't remember who, but I should credit them. But it's, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of fits in with the old scary month because, like.
Oh, wait, sorry. I have one more thing to say about Joker.
But haven't there always been those arguments? Say it after this.
Sorry, I thought you got in the movie.
I can't get a fucking word in because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sorry.
But, like. People have, like, worried about, like, copycat killers inspired by, like, horror movies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been around. I remember, like, in England when I was growing up specifically, like, the level of hysteria about some horror movies was insane. Like, I seem to remember, like, people got all, like, fucking... up in arms about Pinhead from
really
from Hellraiser, I think. Like there was definitely some stuff in England where people were like this. Like it doesn't hurt when like two of the most popular newspapers in England are like essentially tabloid bullshit.
Like the Sun.
Yeah,
and
being like
Daily
this
Mail.
Person killed someone. He wants to be Ghostface from Scream.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he just wants to stab someone with a knife.
Mm.
Well, my thing was like, I think like if you want to make a movie about a villain's origin, like there's better ways to do it. You know what I mean? Like it's like this is kind of like a kind of like I don't know about this huge departure. Like I think, like for my tastes, at least I would say like Venom is probably the best villain origin story ever made.
Yes, that is my.
But he was like I don't know how serious you've been there because like he was like an.
Neither
anti-
do I.
Yeah, because he was like an anti-hero in that.
My hottest take is that I
to a point at the end where he was just a hero.
Yeah.
My hottest take is that, like, minute to minute, and you said this to me earlier privately, is that Venom is more fun to watch than Joker.
Minute to minute, moment to... It's maybe not a bit of film, but moment to moment, it's so much more fun.
It's poorly made,
I would
but...
watched Venom right
if
now
I was,
in a second.
If I was on a plane and Venom and Joker were the choices, I'd watch Venom five times.
Man, absolutely. Do not doubt that. Sorry for blocking you out there, Rose, by the way. Do you want to talk about a chick thing for a minute? Or
I got a new handbag. I was kind of waiting for you to ask about it.
So you criticized my handbag.
I carry the same fucking tote bag around to every gig, but I don't wear it on stage.
I think we can criticize you up after I've done one that is pulled off. Like tech wise,
right?
After let's if the next one goes well, then we can criticize.
So there'll be a next one.
I like that you're setting a timeline for when people can make fun of you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's a fair way to do it.
That's probably a more healthy than usual way.
Yeah,
you
it's
deal
kind of
with
it
things,
kind of makes sense almost.
While also seeming very unhealthy.
It's kind of what I do, brother.
Yeah. I had one more thing to say about Joker, but I forgot what it was.
No Harley Quinn.
No, I didn't care about that.
No, I was kidding. I just wanted to get a boner.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. I did a new bit. I wrote a new bit for the first time in like 2 months. I'm not going to say what it is, but I haven't written in like 2 months. That felt pretty good.
Is that because you've been working on You Up or because of the hairpin turns that is your emotional headspace?
I mean, it's two sides of that same coin. You know what I mean? Like, they're the same problem.
Should make an origin story about how someone becomes Andrew Hastings.
I need to just focus on the wedding till after the wedding, but it's like, I think I'm just avoiding thinking about the wedding by making myself miserable about other
things. I'm still unemployed. Someone give me a job.
Yeah, I've been applying for jobs too. We're going for the same job.
So,
is there only one space?
No, there's a few spaces.
Okay. Because you'd say...
The money's not good.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I'll take it.
I've applied, because I've been unemployed for like 4 months now, so I've applied for a lot of jobs.
If this was a better, like a more successful podcast, we could source Rosie a job.
Yeah, or just live off Patreon money.
Yeah, I don't think anyone who listens to this podcast would get me a job. I'm clearly not to be, you know.
I mean, yeah, after almost 80 episodes of talking about how you can't show up anywhere on time...
Yeah,
you have all these issues. Yeah, unemployable.
I've been working better on with time.
Actually, I don't know if it would be easy to get, because I've talked openly about drug use and stuff on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it's still not the same.
But people think drugs are cool now.
Yeah.
Like, even employers, like, you got
tattoos. I'm on here going like, I'm a bad employee, no one should hire me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been much more of that for you than me.
Yeah.
Still. I, you know... Don't have a job.
But if anyone wants,
pay rise.
I mean, why don't we just write for ABC? It seems easy. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jamie. Let's do that.
I applied for like.
If we just go in the building and be like, "Can we do like a late night show?" It's probably our turn.
Yeah.
Right.
I applied for some jobs at the ABC last week.
Wait, I have a late night show.
Yeah.
Let's put You Up on the ABC.
Oh, man, I heard something so funny that I can't talk about on the podcast. So I have to tell you.
I've got three words.
You might have even told me.
I've got three words to sell that. Car crash television.
Shall we do the movie?
Yeah.
How long have we been talking
35
for?
35 minutes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought you'd never ask. Okay, where are we? Hello. Welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We're Scared. It's a special scary teen movie month for Halloween. This week we're doing I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's a 1997 American slasher film directed by Jim Gillespie, written by Kevin Williamson, and starring Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, and Freddie Prinze Jr. Loosely based on the 1973 novel of the same name by Lois Duncan, the film centers on four young friends who are stalked by a hook-wielding killer 1 year after covering up a car accident in which they killed a man. The film also draws inspiration from the urban legend known as The Hook.
And I'm Andrew Hastings.
I realized that the other day. It's like we haven't said our names during the intro for so fucking long.
Which I'm doing it now.
Do we need to? Now people know our voices.
I've had friends say that
every episode is someone's first episode.
I've had friends say that they actually find it hard to differentiate between you two.
Really?
That which is weird because you don't really have similar voices.
We just say
we
the
talk
same
about
shit.
The same stuff. Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
We spend a lot of time together as well.
It must, yeah.
So there's probably like cadence stuff.
If someone thinks our voices are the same, it must literally sound like someone having a psychotic break where one person's like, remain calm, everything's all right. The other one's like, yeah, I know!
I mean, that is like, you know, podcasts.
Yeah.
But I'm Rosie Piper.
Yeah.
I'm the other one.
Oh my lord,
I'm also Andrew Hastings.
No. I'm Spartacus.
Spartacus? Has anyone watched this movie before?
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, me neither.
All right.
I kind of wish I did. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was very charming. I thought it was light. I thought it was perfect for 15-year-old sleepovers, which is what it was written for. Thought it was a minute, 1 hour, fucking 40 minutes. That's sick. Like, great. Great cast. Fun cast. Recognizable. It's a charming, cute,
a
convenient
fine
story.
Cast too.
Oh, baby, it's a fine
man,
cast.
Man, that... It's a send a small fucking fishing village.
I will never know.
The semen and ovaries must be in, like, turbo drive there.
Yes.
It's like... You fucking grow up in the middle of Sydney, you don't find someone that looks like Jennifer Love Hewitt or Sarah Michelle Gellar.
And these two chicks just happen to be...
Yeah, in the same town.
In the same car crash.
Yeah.
I will never not enjoy Sarah Michelle Gellar in a swimsuit.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing with this movie that I think like would have really appealed to me at 14 or 15 years old. But like now, obviously... So the movie begins with like 5 minutes of like Sarah Michelle Gellar in like a one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
And she looks so hot in it.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's incredible.
Bad pageant hair, though. No good.
Oh, I didn't mind it. But like I knew what it was. Like, you know, like I wasn't like, oh, you'd wear this out to the Glengarry.
But, yeah.
But you would take it to a pageant. But, like, you know, so, like, when you're 15 and stuff, you kind of beat off or, like, talk about, like, movies where women are hot or might appear nude or in a state of undress. And as you grow up and you, like, start having sex with real woman and get...
with real woman.
Real woman. Just one.
Sex with real woman.
Yeah. I love make sex with real woman.
Which is the name of Jamie's sex doll.
I love make sex with real woman. My name is Dimitri. I'm an incel talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar looking beautiful in this one piece bed suit.
One of these days I will have sex with real woman and all will be right in my brain.
Brain chemistry isn't firing so well, but I wait for real woman. I keep myself ready for real woman.
I have the exact picture of this person in my head right now. And yes, they do have a monobrow.
How dare you? I think it looks good. Oh, when I am surprised, it goes up like a straight line.
Like vertical?
Yeah, it goes entirely vertical I see beautiful real woman.
The women on the websites, they say, Dimitri, wax your monobrow. I say, fuck you, bitch.
I'm on the website.
Not the American women.
I'm on the website.
No, they're American.
It constantly says there's 50-year-old women in my area waiting to fuck, but I never find real 50-year-old
women. I never see
these
women. They say it's like horny Tinder. But they keep asking for my credit card.
I thought, say that my inbox is full. I never set up no goddamn email.
I thought regular Tinder was horny Tinder. What going on? Where the real woman?
Regular Tinder, horny Bumble.
Yeah, that's his bio, by the way.
That's just his whole Tinder
full
bio.
Tinder bio.
Yeah, well, my point before we got to that very funny character, we will be returning to, is that...
Is it racist?
No, because
he's
a Russian guy.
He's a white Russian
guy. Yeah,
man,
he's a Russian guy. And he's probably done some war crimes as well.
Be homophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They literally...
He could,
like,
also punch dogs. We can make up anything about
this
guy.
They literally...
He's our character.
Shoot bears.
They literally almost just called off a football match, like an England international football match this morning, because too many Bulgarians were doing racist stuff.
I heard that. Like, players walked off and shit,
they had
to
stop it twice.
Man.
And, like, it was a 3 strikes and you're out. Anyway, what I was getting to the point is, like, when you start having sex with real women and you get access to beautiful hardcore pornography...
Yes.
Like, the point... The part... Like, you move past the point of, like, getting horny for, like, real movies.
For Sarah Michelle
basically.
Gellar.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
But this movie...
I, too, have grown.
Little flashback, because, like, for the first time in ages, I got horny just watching a regular
Hell
movie.
Hell yes,
I
dude.
Was like, this... I was like, oh, shit, something's moving down there.
Amy! Yeah.
Oh, shit, left, because she's at work. I'm post-work, so, like...
Fuck yeah, dude.
So I was just like...
Post-work.
Yeah, that's how I describe
that's
my
how you
employment.
Describe your employment
situation. Yeah, baby, I'm post-work.
Transcended employment.
Yeah, so like
you've reached the nirvana.
So for 5 minutes, this movie made me beautifully horny, and I was like, this is maybe the greatest movie I've ever seen. And then all that slasher stuff gets in the way of it, and it was kind of dull, I thought.
Yeah,
it was dull.
I wanted the movie to be... 1.5 hours of Sarah Michelle Gellar doing pageant tricks.
Yeah, I was into that. I like Freddie Prinze Jr. That cunt from Cruel Intentions cannot act.
Ryan Phillippe.
He's pretty bad in that.
He's pretty bad.
That his character is tremendously parodied in Scary Movie.
Yeah.
Of just the, like, over-the-top screaming, swearing.
Yeah, like, I don't remember that, so it'll be interesting to go back. It was funny.
We will be soon. Yeah.
It was.
Is that the one that's played by Dirt Nasty from Mickey Avalon's rap crew? He's also an actor. I can't remember his real fucking name.
I don't know.
He's more famous as an actor, but I just remember his Dirt Nasty. He raps with Mickey Avalon. He's in Scary Movie 2 and 3 for sure. I think he's in one. He's the white guy. What's the white guy from Scary Movie?
I thought one
his
of
name
the
is Greg in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know the actor's name.
Dirt Nasty is the rapper's name.
Yeah.
He's not good. He's on My Dick and shit. Like, he's on that stuff.
Isn't Dirt Nasty black?
No. You're thinking of Old Dirty Bastard.
No.
You're thinking...
I'm familiar with Mickey Avalon.
Rose, I think you're thinking of Tupac Shakur.
Oh, no. Don't put this shit on me, motherfucker.
Simon Rex.
I don't know who that is.
You'll absolutely recognize him.
Is it with two X's?
No, it's his real name. His rap name is...
I think that guy's too...
No, that's not
that
him.
That guy's too young to be in the first Scary Movie, man.
Oh, I'm looking this up.
It's definitely not him.
I thought it was like... It's not Jake Busey, but I thought it was for a while. It's not...
Nah, 3, 4, and 5, you're right. Who's in Scary Movies 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
quite a lot of this movie is set in the daytime.
Yeah.
Not scary.
A lot of Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Maybe that's why I liked it.
There's a lot of Jennifer Love Hewitt like wearing a cardigan, which seems like an odd wasteful choice. Yeah.
They're going for like a Girl Next Door in comparison to Slutty Buffy.
Yeah, yes. But at the end, they really are just like, they throw it all out. They're just kind of like, oh, now she's being chased. Like, for some reason, the cardigan's gone. She's in Ice Cube. She's wet.
No, you just don't get filmmaking, Jamie. That's Chekhov's gun. If you have a hot girl in a cardigan,
you got to get her out of that.
Yam yams are coming out, dude. Like, you got to pay it off. Yeah. Like, that's storytelling 101.
Wasn't that the kind of point in that? We should just talk about all of this in the scary movie episode. Never mind me.
Yeah, but yes, that is. It's. I think what is interesting is this is the guy who directed Scream, and this came out after Scream.
No, he wrote this. He didn't direct it.
Okay, sorry. The guy who wrote Scream also wrote this, correct?
Yes.
And he wrote Scream first?
No. Apparently, what it is that Scream came out first,
right,
and then he was the hot property, and so they got an unproduced screenplay.
That makes more sense. Because I say, why would he make a movie parodying something and then just make a movie that follows those tropes to the letter?
I think that was kind of the point.
If it's self-parody, it makes sense.
I don't think it's meant to be parody. I think he just wanted to make like a straightforward 80s slasher flick. Because like,
no, sure. But I'm saying with Scream, like, why would he?
Oh, because like
he's parodying.
Because I think he wanted to do the parody ideally, and then be like, well, why don't I just try my hand at doing
the regular thing.
The exact thing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because like slashers had been dead for a while before Scream and this movie brought them like roaring back in the late 90s.
I guess you just assumed that someone who wrote Scream would try and do something like innovative.
More interesting.
Just something that wasn't. I think it's a great take on like a classic slash. I think it's a cool genre.
Yeah.
But like,
and for how funny Scream is, the lines in this aren't particularly like the dialogue's kind of boring in this movie. Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason I liked it though, is because like, it wasn't too scary. Like, I was like, oh, it's like kind of like, I feel like I'm watching a horror movie, but I'm not really. Like,
the only thing that was remotely scary or startling was the very end, which I haven't seen the sequel, but in reading,
I think it disregards it entirely, right?
Either that or it's like a nightmare.
What is that comes out of the mirror?
It's him, the fish man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a nightmare then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Because apparently at the end of the second movie, her and Freddie Prinze are now married, and he's like, he's brushing his teeth, and she sits down on the bed, sees him under the bed in the mirror, and he pulls her under, and that's the end of the movie.
That's crazy. So I know What You Did Last Summer 3 should just be like a fucking like psychological thriller, like a study of PTSD.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That'd be a good thing to do for a horror movie.
Well, is a third one. It's called I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer, but it's like different people, right? Different plot lines.
I mean, I'm sure this concept's been done, but would like a sequel where like the person is like heavily traumatized from the events of the first?
Arkham Knight.
Isn't that kind of Scream?
Yeah, but she did like she didn't get stalked by a killer before.
Didn't get stalked by killer.
She's a beautiful real woman.
I protect her from stalker killer. Oh, stalker killer is me.
I watched end of I Know What You Did Last Summer. Cardigan's gone. She's just wearing towel. I'm like, oh, baby, we about to see real woman.
Real woman.
Very, very steamy in there.
PTSD horror movies.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Yes. I suppose you're right with Scream 2, actually.
There was another one. Arkham Knight.
I haven't even seen Scream 2.
Do you ever play the game Arkham Knight?
Yes.
There's a bit of that stuff with the Joker stuff.
I think they do it with the woman from Halloween, too. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Sure probably, yeah. Because that's a series.
I mean, Terminator 2 is a great one.
Terminator 2 is a good example.
But like,
what about the Nightmare on Elm Street ones?
No, new cast, I think.
Yeah.
They all die in the first one, I'm pretty sure.
No, I think
all
one person
like
gets
one
away.
Guy,
surely there's always got
Johnny
to be
Depp dies.
There's a final girl.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp dies. And he's,
I think that, it would be cool to have one set in like an institution for the whole movie. So it's just like, you know, lockbox.
You do
thriller.
That, but it, like people do, there's plenty of movies about PTSD, but the idea of doing a sequel about PTSD is very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of T2 is like pretty good for that.
So PTSD.
Yeah.
PTSD
2.
Oh, God.
Penis post-traumatic stress disorder.
I was thinking PSTD, right?
Penis post-traumatic stress disorder literally sounds like a bad like Sex and the City episode where she's like sitting at a typewriter being like, and after he came for 2 minutes, I had PPSD. That's penis post-traumatic stress disorder.
It also just kind of sounds like, you know, rape,
yeah,
which is bad.
Yeah, that is true. That's a hot take there, Rose.
Yeah.
It is bad.
Way to take my slight silly criticism of Sex and the City and be like, yeah, rape.
Oh, man. I'm getting B12 injections. That's the other new thing that's going on.
In your butt?
No, in my arm.
Oh.
But I'm getting B12
What's
injections.
What's it for?
It's because I have a B12 deficiency.
What are you getting injected into your butt?
Nothing at the moment.
Besides the enjoy.
Nothing for a while. About a year, I reckon, since anything's gone down that particular passage.
And it sounds like it's been a while since things come out of it as well.
No, just less frequently than you'd like. And they're, you know, this is gross, but they're pretty dark.
You claim that you write...
they write poetry.
Yeah.
They have a DeviantArt account.
Yeah, I don't do poos, I do pose.
That's good. He's back on top.
You claim that you wrote notes for this movie, which no one's done for a while. What are they?
Okay, here we go.
I'm interested.
All right, here we go. Let's run through quick, like therapist notes.
Oh, dear.
Horrible bit. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Big Bang Theory, and when I was like depressed, I was watching it a lot. I've like not watched Big Bang Theory for a few weeks. When Johnny Galecki, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah, that's very funny.
When he came on screen, I was just like, do I have to...
The thing with
Also, because he's kind of meant to be like tough-ish.
Also, sort what's the thing with Johnny Galecki? Like, is he the same age as those people in that movie, or is he older?
He's in their year.
Yeah,
he graduated when they did.
But I'm, I know that, like, character-wise, but, like, do you think Johnny Galecki was the same age as Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Let's find out.
He would have been older, right? Because he was, like...
He was kind of
around that age when he was on, like, Roseanne or something?
Yeah.
Like
when was Roseanne?
Like, the early to midnight.
This is 97.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
That he could have conceivably played a high school student, but it's just so weird seeing him next to someone who what I would have thought is of a later generation.
He's playing, late 20s to 30 at the start of Big Bang Theory, and that I think that makes him younger than Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like,
right.
Let me have a look.
Because it seems like he's been around forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think he was a child actor.
And only kind of, like, really broke big with Big Bang.
Imagine
Roseanne was pretty big.
42. Yeah, Roseanne's pretty big, but he wasn't the star. He was like part of the peripheral cast.
Mm.
Johnny Galecki.
John Goodman was...
Man, Roseanne's pretty cool, I reckon.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
He's 2 years older than Sarah Michelle Gellar. Same age, basically.
Was that the only note you made?
No. I got 2 minutes of content out of that. What'd you do?
Yeah, so keep rattling them off.
Alrighty.
I'm going to put your good work to use.
All right. At this time of the 90s in human history, the world loved Freddie Prinze Jr. Get enough of him.
That is
so much shit. That guy could not stop working. Do you guys like Freddie Prinze?
I like him as a dude.
Yeah, me too.
It seems like he was kind of like... It seems that he's aware that he's kind of a shitty actor.
Yeah.
And was just like, all right, so I'm going to get married to Buffy. Like, I'm not going to, like, do, like, weird tabloid shit and be like, I'm just going to work on the cool nerd shit that I like. Because he's, like, into wrestling
stuff. Yeah, he wrote for the WWE for
like,
a while.
Like, he loves, like, video games and, like, he's voiced, like, a bunch of stuff. So he's just like, you know what? I'm going to be rich. Continue having sex with Sarah Michelle Gellar without...
Maybe the most baller move on Earth?
Yeah. That's like
just fucking Buffy?
Like, to get, like, peak Buffy as well. Like, it's not, like, a second marriage. It's, like, fucking, like, he started dating Buffy.
Happily ever after.
When I think about, like... I bring this up a lot when I talk about Kanye, like, you know how much I love Kanye.
Yeah.
But how, Kim Kardashian is the only celebrity Kanye could have married.
Right.
Like, to fit his character, to fit, like, the sort of meta performance.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're
saying. The meta performance art that is Kanye's life.
Yeah.
Kim is the only person who could fit it. So, like, for Kim, like, and it's also because certain people, Kim is like, fuck, it's like, Sarah Michelle Gellar is people like you and I's Kim Kardashian, is what I'm saying. That she's the it girl.
Yeah, she's the cool person
of the 20th century. Yeah. Of aging schlubby Gen Yers.
Yeah.
And she is the it girl.
And I suppose, like, that makes sense in context of, like, who is she going to marry? Obviously.
Absolutely.
It needs to be either Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Philippe, or that other cunt.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Who's that other cunt that was really big then?
Other thing. Freddie Prinze Jr. though, and Sarah Michelle Gellar, they were the prom king.
Paul
queen
Walker.
I was thinking like maybe 90s. Joshua Jackson.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah.
Who's Joshua Jackson?
The guy at Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Oh,
I guess Vanderbeek. Could
yeah,
also
Vanderbeek,
be one.
Dude. Yeah. Vanderbeek's the king.
Oh, Joshua Jackson was probably he was in more stuff.
Yeah. And he was, like, in these horror movies because he was in fucking Urban Legend.
Efron was the guy of his time, but that's well after our time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Vanderbeek maybe. Yeah, it's tough. What else we got?
But yeah, he just seems, Freddie Prinze Jr. just seems
like
cool.
Seems like a mad cunt.
Like, lack of drama. Cool yeah. dude. Stopped acting. Doesn't yeah. give a shit.
Gotta respect
I think he
it.
Had like a bad sitcom for a while.
Yep.
Maybe.
But like, you know.
I think he did. I think you are right.
I think it was like based on his life. Because he's like, he's from a famous family. Like his dad was an insanely famous actor, I'm pretty sure.
His dad was Prince? No.
Freddie Prinze. Prinze.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. So of all the characters, they're posted. They start, the movie starts with them finishing high school.
Yeah.
And it's, that's your cat back here. So it's them as young adults starting their careers, their lives, becoming, you know, they're 1 year into being grown-ups, essentially, right?
Yeah.
The employment options in this town for high schoolers.
Fishermen.
Okay, yeah. So there's five characters, right?
Yeah.
Two fishermen.
Yeah.
Two of them become on the docks, rough, like, wet gear fishermen.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a rough-ass job. One of them moves to New York and it fails, so ends up working in the makeup section of a department store, so, like, local retail.
Yeah.
You don't
wanna Wasn't that, like, a kind of... It was... It was like an alteration shop, like clothes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was her and her sister.
Yeah. Talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's, all right, whatever. She's in a shop. She's doing retail locally, right? Jennifer
doing
Love Hewitt.
Bespoke dresses.
And the quarterback both go to college. Her because she's smart and him because he got a football scholarship, yeah. right? Three, like two out of five becoming fishermen is not great. Like, two, yeah. that is not a good, like, it's,
if anybody is
men...
listening to the podcast who is a fisherman, it's a noble profession.
Of course. Well, I mean, I don't, you know, you kind of kill the earth, but yeah. whatever that is.
But you like sushi.
Yeah, not the one with fish in it, though.
Oh, yeah. You...
I don't eat meat. Yeah. Avocado, cucumber, tofu.
Yeah, well, that's all. Thank the fisherman for that. Yeah. Don't be fucking rude.
That's true. Well, I do have to thank the fisherman for Japan.
I love going fishing for avocados.
like, Japan wouldn't exist without fishing. It's a fishing country.
Yeah.
So it's like, Japan gave me Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z.
Dead whales.
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Hentai.
Yeah.
Oh,
speaking of, I've robotics. I've got that anime body pillow for you.
Oh, please. Thank you. I do need to give that creep his fucking pillow back.
He
asked to see the photo, and I was like, yeah, sure, dude. And I'm just not going to send it
He's
to him.
Beating off to me.
Yeah, I don't want him beating off to you, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, maybe I do. I don't know. I just worried he'd be offended. Like, he'd realize that I was making fun of his lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, here's something I thought of that I did. Was made a mental note of.
Yeah.
Something that happens in like horror movies like this that I don't think has ever happened in my real life is 18-year-olds drinking beers or whiskeys and telling scary stories to each other.
Never been in that scenario.
Yeah, me neither. Like, no. It's always like, who fucked this person? Like, let's talk about Blink-182. Yeah. I've never been like, let's go down to the beach and talk about Hookman.
The scary stories was like when you were at sleepovers when you were 12.
Yeah, yeah. We did that.
So like, there's no way I drink like a bottle of rum.
And then
rum.
We definitely didn't kiss each other.
Yeah.
And stuff.
There's no way I drink a bottle of rum like tonight and be like, hey, scare me, brother.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Do your worst, bitch.
Give me three of your best.
Hit me up. And for you to instantly
be like, oh, I got it.
Yeah, to be like, here's the thing with all the lore. Because when they were doing that in this movie, not only was like the woman telling the story, but everyone was like, I heard it was this version. Yeah, he's like, okay.
Yeah, maybe that's like an American thing.
I know there's like a thing with like, because last week when McGowan was on, he knew a lot of urban legends, but I've never sat and had a beer with him while he tries to scare me talking
sure,
about it.
No, because he would have gone through that when he was younger.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. I don't think McGowan had a younger.
No, McGowan's always been
out at 28 doing open mic.
Yeah, an over at 28-year-old though.
This sucks.
I don't even know why.
I don't even know why. No, it's not bad though.
All right, hit me with the rest of your note.
What was
it's Hastings talking points?
Oh yeah, I got one final note. Right at the end when they play "Where Did You Sleep Last Night," that is one of my favorite songs ever written.
Oh, I thought
it's because I'm a white guy who grew up in the '90s. I like Nirvana, and obviously we all love that. But like when he does "Where Did You Sleep Last Night," same song that Kurt Cobain covers on his last recorded thing, it's very good.
What song is that?
"Where Did You Sleep Last Night" is the name of the song. It's by Lead Belly.
I don't remember.
My girl.
Is that the one that plays at the end credits?
No, it's the one that plays at the end when I think the killer's out or some shit.
Oh, tell it me was
where
pretty funny.
Did you sleep last night?
With the with the soundtrack, it was pretty funny when Ryan Philippe was like, "What is this shit?" And then like he presses it and listens to like metal and goes crazy in the car, throwing his whiskey around.
If I'm on a podcast and I'm the only host who's a fan of Nirvana, that's a record, right? Like, to be the only Nirvana fan hosting a podcast.
Yeah.
Surely not.
I don't mind Nirvana, but...
Do you know the live, the unplugged Nirvana one? The last thing they recorded?
Not well.
It's like their best...
I've only listened to Never...
That is not their best thing.
I've only listened...
That's not a uncommonly held opinion.
I think...
Never mind.
You heard songs like Territorial Pissings and Drain You?
I know all
these
songs.
I think I said this before on the podcast, but I've only listened to Nevermind once in my entire life, and it was last year or
I've
this
probably
year.
Only gone
is this a Dutch thing? Or like
I've probably only gone the whole way through it once.
Have I massively overestimated? I surely not. I haven't overestimated.
No.
You guys are the weird.
Like
ones.
I've always known what Smells Like Teen Spirit is.
Yeah.
But like I
you
never
even say that title with an odd cadence. Smells Like Teen Spirit.
You mean Smells Like Teen Spirit?
Yeah, you say it like it smells like Teen
smells
Spirit.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Teen's an adjective.
It smells spirits. Like teen spirit.
Smells like teen spirit?
Spirit's the noun. Teen's the adjective.
Smells
like the
teen
noun is not teen spirit.
Smells like
teen
spirit.
Spirit. Smells like teen spirit.
Smells like teen spirit.
Smells like
smells teen like teen spirit.
It actually smells like teen spirit.
Yeah. I know the story behind that where, like, you know, it was just, like, deodorant.
Yeah, which apparently actually is a noun, teen spirit, but it's when you say it as if...
But I'm cool and I know Kurt Cobain and Chris Novoselic and...
And
Dave...
Grohl.
Yeah. Grover.
Dave Foo Fighters.
Mr. Foo.
Mr. Foo
Fighters. Grover from the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
The Fooies.
He's the best. The best. The best.
Foo Fighters.
The best. The best.
Foo Fighters fans are, like... Some of the funniest, I think.
Foo Fighters fans don't exist. Like,
dude, they do.
No, they do, man. They're fucking...
It's people who don't like music like Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
I've said this like on Twitter, probably on stage, probably on the podcast before, but anytime you hear somebody who says, I'm really into music, their favorite band is the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters are what
you.
Like...
Maybe second favorite is Green Day. But they only like...
I don't think Green Day fit in that category.
But
they
kind of do now.
But they only like American Idiot beyond
Green right,
Day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
U2? A lot of people have that. I've seen a lot of people who are just U2 fans.
Yeah.
No other band.
Would Coldplay maybe fall into that?
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
Yeah, a bit.
Yep. The Fray would have, like, mainstream.
What about,
rock,
like, Mumford and Sons?
No, they're a little... Only a touch, but a little more... You know,
I like
they
to
still
use
suck.
I like to use the band the Lumineers in punchlines as often as I can.
Oh, that was a very big running joke up at Splendor this year.
Yeah,
to
I
the point that Ben
funny.
Koshin, because he was the one that started it, maybe he stole it from you. Who
he
knows?
Did actually steal it from me.
Well, there you go. You were killing
right,
up
well,
at Splendor.
Well, Diarrhea Baby, but he, cheap ripoff of Butt Baby.
He went and bought, like, a bunch of us were, like, sitting in front of the tents eating food or whatever, and he turned up to meet us. He had gone to the merch tent and bought a Lumineers shirt, and we all kind of saw him wearing it. We're like, ah. And then he was like, yeah, that reaction wasn't worth the $40 that this shirt cost.
I think it was me. Like, I'd have to double check. Like, we have footage of it, but the Lumineers joke came from when at Everly, a famously little scene room. At the end, we brought everyone on stage and did like an SNL thing to the five people watching, and we filmed it.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like to thank the special band, the Lumineers. And Gretchen thought that was funny.
It is a funny reference. Imagine Dragons is another, if you're...
Because people hate Imagine Dragons.
They are
like,
bad.
Yeah, but anyone who like actually likes music like uses them as like, they're the Creed.
They're modern Nickelback, yeah.
Yeah, or Creed, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Creed's a good comparison, actually. Yeah. But
I thought you were going to say Creed were a good band, and I was going to be like, hell yeah, brother.
Human clay, love it.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm molded into greatness.
More of an Alter Bridge girl.
Alter Bridge were on a Madden soundtrack, so I have one of their songs like permanently etched into my brain. But the rest of them, I could not tell you.
Ooh, I have a video game question, speaking of Madden, actually.
Yeah, hit me.
Oh, great.
So I finished you up.
Rose,
you want to play for jobs?
Rose, we're about an hour in. You want to just go have a cigarette?
I'm going to buy like two or three... video games.
Yeah,
I definitely want to get Far Cry 5. I want to finish Final Fantasy 7, so let's count that as one. I was thinking about getting into something I hadn't done before, right?
Mm.
I know this is going to sound very basic, and I'm wearing a base backwards hat right now.
Yeah.
Thinking about getting into a sports game. All right. So if I were to pick a 2K, like, real sports game, I already play the 2K wrestling games.
Yeah.
If I were to pick a 2K, like FIFA? They don't do FIFA. That's a different company.
No.
So like NBA, Madden, what do you reckon? Like what do you...
But like 2K is only basketball
really?
At this stage.
And wrestling. But I thought it was the same company that made all of them.
No, EA Sports makes Madden and FIFA.
All right.
The people that make 2K had... Like, sadly, they had an NFL game that competed with Madden back. This is so interesting.
What's it called? What was it called?
It was called NFL 2K.
Right.
I'm getting quite a lot of text messages, so I'm just going to respond to those. Right.
It started in 2000, and apparently, like, it was great and a genuine contender for Madden. Mm. But what EA Sports did that is so shitty that they've done to a lot of sports games is just bought the entire license of the NFL. Yeah. So NFL,
the Pro Evo effect.
Yeah, but, like, Pro Evo has been, like, long-running enough and had that from the start that people are kind of like, oh, I'll deal with this.
Yeah.
When you take away NFL from NFL 2K, people are like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, and right.
So
was it just called like 2K football? Like, what was it?
Well, it was
or
just,
they just stopped?
It was called NFL 2K, NFL 2K1, and then it stopped once they got brought out by EA. So basically, NBA 2K managed to surpass EA's offering, which is NBA Live, which I think doesn't get released as much anymore. And so NBA 2K is the only one from that developer. Right.
So I'll rephrase my question then. If I'm going to buy a major sports game, which one's fun and which one would be less fun? My player is less on multiplayer. A little bit of multiplayer is good. Less on multiplayer. A good career mode, I think, is what would solidify it for me. It would help if it's a game I already kind of understand how to play.
Okay, so I think like...
I know how to play, I know basketball and soccer, basically.
Okay, so I think like a lot of the criticism about Madden and FIFA is that their career mode has kind of stagnated over the years.
Okay.
For someone that does not know the sport too well, I think it will be enough for you.
Yeah.
I think the career mode in 2K NBA is meant to be very good.
Ooh, okay, I like to sound bad.
But also, like, with basketball games, you have to fucking play, like, 100 games a season.
Yeah, yeah. That's but you can just make them real short.
Well, see, the halves, thing I think that you might like is, like, and I'm going to try and sway you to a soccer game because I like soccer. And, like, I don't even like FIFA as much as I do Pro Evolution Soccer, but I think you might kind of get into FIFA Ultimate Team.
Okay, what's that?
So Ultimate Team is, like, a game...
Was that a coaching simulator thing?
No. So it's, like, it's kind of like... Like, did you ever collect, like, stickers?
Rose is literally just on her phone.
Yeah, did you ever...
I have nothing to contribute to this.
Did you ever, like, collect stickers and stuff when you were growing up? Like, in a sticker book and stuff?
Yep.
It's...
Yes. I did.
Yeah, great,
maybe you
right?
should play this game, Rose.
So, basically, like, you know how when you, like, were collecting stickers, you basically were going to the newsagent all the time, buying packs, hoping that you got a new one.
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's FIFA.
Okay.
So, it relies a little... You don't have to do it. People do. That's one of the big complaints, that it uses microtransactions.
Yeah.
But, like, essentially, you don't have to do it. You can win all of it in games, but you win points, you spend it on packs, and you build up your ultimate team that's made up of, like, the best players in the league and legends from the past.
Yeah, that's, like, that's cracked to me.
And you play it online and single player and do challenges.
I'll throw away my life doing that. That sounds great.
Apparently, it's dangerously addictive.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, like, Pokemon's, like, one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm right into
it. Now we have to spend the next 10 minutes talking about The Wire.
I love The Wire.
We watched some Wire clips the other night, Rose.
Oh, yeah.
You, me, and Sando did. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was good.
The Wire fucking rules.
Yeah, it was dope.
The part where Slim Charles shoots that fucking guy in the head and goes, that was for Jim, is my favorite moment.
That was for Joe.
Joe, sorry. It's my favorite moment.
Also, spoilers!
I love... it's fucking... How old is it now? It's years.
I think the last season came out in 2008.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
I just thought of a scenario, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a... Like, let's say 17-year-old...
This isn't a good start.
No. She
fits the bra well.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, you're going to feel bad when I say a 17-year-old trans girl.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Yeah, but what's this? Okay.
I'm getting there.
That's still bad if anything, that's
Yeah, why are you
worse?
Checking out a 17-year-old trans girl?
Yeah. So, she's a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
As we all were at that age.
Yeah.
And still are, I assume.
Is this hypothetical or a real situation?
It's a hypothetical.
Right.
But it could have happened.
Yeah.
I'm painting a picture for you. Just let me get to it. All right. So...
great. We'll be here for another half hour.
So the 17-year-old with a... No, I'm not going to... So the 17-year-old girl, a big fan of comedy. She types in... She lives in Australia.
Yeah.
She types into YouTube one day because she wants to see some comedy. She types in trans Australian comedy.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Okay. She types in trans Australian comedy. She watches some Cassie Workman videos. She watches some Jordan Raskopoulos videos. She watches... Oh, wait. What's this? A little Tonightly video by... oh, Rose Piper. Oh, this is like a younger trans person. They're not talking like in a way that it like it's a bit more of like a relatable, casual way of talking about the transness. I'm really connecting with the stand-up. She's a good joke writer. She looks cool. I like her cool leather skirt that she wears everywhere. And just having a great time.
I really don't know where this is going because this is the nicest you've been to me for a while.
I'm not slamming
you
on this.
I also like that it was very nice, but then you had to get in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that was to cushion the leather skirt slam.
I think I understand completely where you're going with
Jamie
this.
Yeah, I think Jamie gets it. Yeah. At the end of it, Tom Ballard says, down the camera. That was Rose Piper. Great job. Check out our podcast. We'll just tell your mother we ate it all. Now, she only found that video yesterday, right? Mm. She goes, that sounds great. I'm really enamored with this new comedian. I'm going to download the latest episode of her new podcast. Huh, it said it was about teen sex comedies. For some reason, it's about a horror movie. Whatever. Listen, okay, there's two straight cis white men talking over this woman for 10 minutes about Joker. Kind of saying that the PC people have bullshit a little bit. Then at the end, they tell her to shut up so they can talk about sports video games for another 5 minutes.
Also, it's my mum's birthday. I had to leave lunch to come here and do this, and then I have to go back after this.
Well, your mum can't have been that amused because she took time out of her day to like the latest meme I posted.
Well, she was probably just like sitting there waiting for me to turn up at the station or whatever.
Also,
she made an appointment at the optometrist today, which was odd.
That's pretty odd.
You should bring your mum on pod.
I think we're done, right?
That'd be a terrible idea.
We're over time as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's a little treat. Do you want to say something?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to think of like something that I could tell this hypothetical fan.
Keep on trucking.
It doesn't get any easier.
Keep on rolling.
Yeah, you'll be forced. If you come out as trans, you will be forced to participate in these kind of podcasts.
Yeah.
By the patriarchy.
Start saving early. I will say.
That's just good advice for young people, sort of broadly.
Yeah, probably. Sure.
Oh, my Lord.
Do we do come to Powerbomb Comedy? The festival's still running.
No, we should do that because the festival's still going and my show will be on next week.
If you're a 17-year-old trans girl who listens...
Come to Rose Piper.
So, apparently a little baby trans came to my show Miss November last year and really enjoyed it.
And now they're a full-fledged trans.
And they're...
She got her wings. Or he.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a trans boy, trans girl. I just know that someone that was there said that this person they knew brought their little baby trans along.
That's kind of nice, right?
It was nice.
Yeah.
I hope they liked the cunt soap bit. But my show is on it's the last week. It's at 5:45 at Staves Brewery in Glebe, 26th of October. It's called Thanks for Coming Out, Supporting Live Comedy. Please buy tickets. I think I've sold 4 so far.
Yeah. You'll get that runoff audience from Eric Patrick as well.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, great. Come to Powerbomb Comedy Festival. Come to Powerbomb every Friday. UTS, I think, is done until next year. But yeah,
today's the last gala show.
Yeah. We don't know if it's coming back next year. We don't know like what's happening with the venue or whatever, but like it might. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not under threat. It just gets renewed every semester.
You're talking to the Zoom like it's the person from UTS.
It's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's fine. The shows are going fine. Come to UTS if you see it advertised.
Come to Comedy at Papa Getty's. It's third Tuesday of every month.
I'm actually running Papa Getty's tonight for you, Rose.
This is true. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, so I just wanted to check. It's like 1 bell at 3, 2 bells at 4. Sign up goes up at
Everybody
7 for the 7:30 show.
That's so inside.
All right, that'll do it for us. To the next step.
To the next step.
I just wanted to say, if you're a 17-year-old trans girl listening to this, this pod's not for you. Bye.